Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like you to, if you can, turn to the epistle reading in today's bulletin. And we notice it starts at Hebrews chapter 5. But I want to read the last few verses of chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, because it's connected with today's reading. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The word of our Lord. Jimmy, when you think of Jesus, give me a name or a characteristic of him that you can think of. Anybody?
Savior.
Anybody else?
Faithful.
Shepherd. What kind of shepherd?
Good.
The good shepherd? Mm-hmm. All right. So we could come up with everything. Redeemer. Son of God. Son of man. Most people will not usually think of the word priest or high priest. And when I first saw the text for today, and I thought of the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Because if you notice, we have in here today, what a priest we have in Jesus. So I was almost like, I started singing it in my head and to Sally, and it's like, what a priest we have in Jesus. And so I started thinking on that. Now, he's our great high priest. What does it mean to be a high priest? How do you become a high priest? Is there an election? No. Is it a popularity contest? No. Does everybody get together and just grab a person and put them up on their shoulders and say, you're our great high priest. You're higher than us right now because you're on our shoulders. No. It comes from God. The very first high priest was Aaron, and God appointed Aaron. God consecrated Aaron. And so for Jesus to become our high priest, he had to be appointed and consecrated. And when did this happen for him? At his baptism. When God spoke the words, you are my son with whom I am well pleased. And he was thus baptized and anointed and consecrated to be our high priest. And then, this is really strange. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Wait, how can Jesus learn anything? Isn't he omniscient, all-knowing? But it says he learned obedience. That's because Jesus did not always or fully use his divine powers. And here he set aside his divine powers so he can learn. And he learned through suffering because he knows everything that we have been through. He has himself been beset with weakness. He gets hungry. He gets thirsty. He gets tired. He gets emotional. He cries. He throws tantrums. He does everything that we do. He is our great high priest. And so he learned through suffering. He learned through everything he had to go through the time spent in the wilderness, praying to God the whole time, being tempted the whole time. Yet he was learning through his suffering obedience. He became obedient even to death for us. That's why he went through it all for us. Now, it's really interesting. A high priest is somebody who is not supposed to have people come up and serve them. It's somebody who is supposed to be serving the people. Serving the people. And this is what Jesus did. And he shows us a great example of ways to do it. Not through, you better do it my way or else. No, no. Let's look at this from today's gospel. What was going on? Two of the disciples decided, hey, let us be on your left and your right when you come into your kingdom. Yeah, James and John and the others became indignant. I bet I could just look at, see Peter's face when they were asking that. What? How did they beat me to that? How did they became indignant and mad at each other? And it was almost like there was going to be a fight, a riot among the disciples. Oh, that would not have been pretty. John, because he was young, he probably had a pretty good advantage over most of the other ones. We don't know how old they were, but we know John was pretty young and probably pretty strong. But what does he do to them? He talks to James and John, and it's like, you don't know what you're asking. To do that, to do what I'm going to do, you have to, things are going to, would happen to you. And it's going to happen to you. And you are going to drink my cup. And you are been baptized. You will be baptized with my baptism. But to sit at my left or my right is not mine to grant. It's for those for whom it has been prepared. And then they begin the arguing, and he calls them to him and says, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Just like I referred to earlier. But it should not be among you. Whoever would be great among you must be servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And he did so gently. He explained it to them. He didn't rule over them, but he just explained it to them. And we don't hear any more about their argument. So it must have calmed them down, just talking gently to them rather than admonishing them. But isn't it interesting that they had just sinned? All of them. James and John by placing themselves higher than the rest by becoming indignant and by the argument and everything, they sinned greatly. And yet Jesus restored them gently, just as we are instructed to do in Galatians. If anyone sins against you, restore him gently. If anyone is doing anything wrong, restore him gently. But be careful that you do not get caught and start doing exactly what they are doing, caught in the trap. Jesus, our good shepherd, is calm and instructs us patiently, friendly, and nice. And also, he remains obedient to his Father. He knew what he was going to go through would be very difficult. Here he is using his divine power. He knows everything that's going to happen to him. He has learned obedience from his father, but he allows it to happen. He allows himself to be mocked, to be spit on, to be flogged, to be arrested, to have all this done to him. He allows himself to be hung on a cross, suffering greatly, the suffering servant from Isaiah 53, chapter 53. He is suffering horribly for us. But yet, he didn't come to serve, but to serve as a ransom for many. He did not come for to have his disciples save him from the arrest or call on the angels to save him from the arrest, even though he did ask the Father if there's any other way. But the Father said, nope, sorry, son, you have to go through this. He says, okay, Father, I will, being obedient even to death, death on the cross. And even while he's hung on the cross and suffering and going through all that torment and being ridiculed and all that's happening to him and having a hard time catching his breath and all that is going on, I can't imagine the pain that he was going through with the bleeding from the whippings and everything, his head having had a crown of thorns thrust down on it, the wood, the gnarly wood from the cross tearing into his wounds on his back. All that is going on. And yet, what is he thinking? Who is he thinking about? What is he doing? He's caring for us. He's our high priest who cares for us. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, he exclaims, thinking of us at all times, thinking of his mother and the disciple whom he loved, John and Mary, making sure that they would take care of each other, thinking of all of us, giving his life so that our sins are forgiven. What a great high priest we have. What a priest we have in Jesus. And then, what's this mean for us? What does this mean for us? Should we expect to be served? Or are we expected to serve others? And how does this look? How does it look for each one of you personally? How does it look for us as Concordia Lutheran Church in Bourbon, Missouri? How does it look for us as part of the Universal and Catholic Church, the Universal Church throughout the world? We are to serve others, help those who are in need. Comfort those who are in need. Be gracious to people. Love people, even our enemies. Yes, even those we do not love. And part of the, when I refer to the Universal Catholic Church, if you notice in our hymnals, in the Apostles' Creed, where it says the Apostolic and Christian Church, it also had, you could use the word Catholic, a lower case C Catholic, which refers to the Universal Church. All the denominations together who believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And we are, that is what we are to do. Jesus served us. And now we pray that the Holy Spirit leads us to serve others. Not lord it over them. Ha! I'm a Christian and you're not. I'm a better Christian than you are. I have more faith. You don't know what I did for the church? You want to know what I did for the community? You want to know how awesome I am because of how I help others? No. That is not how we are to act. We are to help others and then not boast about it. We are saved by faith, so no one can boast that I did it. Ha! Remember that at all times, you are saved by Jesus, our high priest. Can I hear you all sing the first line together using the word priest? What? Thank you very much. God bless each and every one of you. In the name of Jesus, amen.